Not to these microphones. We bring a good friend, and he is a broadcast partner with us. We've just come to the point where we wanted to partner in ministry. I'm talking about Mike Gendron out of Dallas, Texas. He has an organization entitled ProclaimingTheGospel.org. He is interested in trying to see everyone come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but with a special focus on the people in the Catholic Church. Since Mike comes out of Catholicism, his heart is to reach out to them. And Mike, I understand you're going down to San Antonio, Texas this weekend to do somewhat of a seminar. Talk to us just briefly about it, and where is it going to take place?
We're going to be at Believer's Fellowship tonight and tomorrow morning, and we're equipping all the saints in San Antonio to reach out to what may be the largest Roman Catholic population in any city in America. And so witnessing to Roman Catholics is definitely one of the heartbeats of our ministry, and so we just want to show all the Christians down there how they can effectively reach Roman Catholics with the gospel of Christ.
Well, praise the Lord for that, and we're hoping and praying that God will bless the efforts down there. Well, let's get to some conversation that you and I can have together as it relates to what's happening in the Vatican with the Pope, but also I want to move into a time of discussion on an article that you wrote. I actually was going through your website, and I found the article. I said, hey, we've got to have a conversation about it. It's talking about the four steps that lead to apostasy. I'm going to get Mike to define apostasy in just a moment, and then we'll see how, even maybe, well, when you hear this description, your church may be moving in that direction. You'll need to do something about it. But back at the Vatican, the Pope, Pope Francis, let me ask this about some of his statements being made to all of those that were attendees at the G20 conference there in St. Petersburg, Russia. He was pretty vocal about the fact, don't attack Syria, and let's back away and let's get into dialogue. He even was in contact with the Russian President, Vladimir Putin. That's an interesting move by supposedly the world's greatest religious leader, but also being political as well.
Well, it's true, but it's also ironic, isn't it, Jimmy, because the Vatican has been known throughout history to put to death anyone that stands in opposition to the Roman Catholic religion. And so now you see this new pope becoming a pope of peace and rallying all the government leaders to stand on his side. We have to understand, Jimmy, that this man may be the most influential man on the earth today, because his church represents over 1 billion souls, and they're throughout every country in the world. And so when the Pope speaks on these political issues, then the world is listening, and I think he'll have great influence on the political leaders that are meeting right now.
I bring these thoughts to your attention listening to this broadcast all across the world, and talk with Mike Gendron about it, because it is significant in light of the prophetic scenario laid out in God's Word. Well, Mike, there's another issue that's very significant as we look towards the end times, and that is apostasy. And I want to get to your paper that you wrote, The Four Steps Leading to Apostasy. First of all, for those eavesdropping on the conversation, define the word apostasy.
Well, Paul defines it in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. He said, apostasy is when people depart from the faith to follow doctrines of demons. And so apostasy then is those who once had the faith, they had the head knowledge of what the true gospel was, but since they were never born again, they departed from the faith. And we know that any born again Christian can never go into apostasy, because he is sealed by the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing their eternal inheritance. But those who profess Christ, and there are many false converts in all the churches today, they just have head knowledge. They lift up the name of Christ, but they're the ones that are prone to apostasy, to depart from the true faith before they're born again.
Mike, I'm following a script, and the script is your paper, so I'm just going to talk about, and we can briefly talk in the next couple of minutes about the four points. Point number one is God's Word is rejected as the ultimate authority.
Yes, in fact, I think the primary example of this is the Roman Catholic religion. They departed from the faith by rejecting the supreme authority of God's Word. They now submit to two other authorities, and that would be sacred tradition, which has evolved over the last 1,600 years, as well as the infallible bishops of the church. And so whenever you have three authorities, you wonder which one will reign over the other two, and it's ultimately the bishops of the church that twist and distort the scriptures so that it conforms to their ungodly traditions. So that's the first step into apostasy, denying the Word of God as the supreme authority.
And that twisting of the scriptures and manipulating them to say what you want them to say would be the second step, correct?
That's correct. In fact, the Apostle Peter wrote in his epistle that some will twist and distort the scriptures to their own destruction. And ultimately, the reason the Roman Catholic religion and other churches as well distort and twist the scripture is for their self-serving agendas. They're no longer seeking the will of God, but their own self-serving agendas. Roman Catholic religion, you know, has infallible men that claim to be successors of the apostles. And the word infallible simply means that they cannot err in matters of faith and morals. Rome says you need an infallible interpreter of the infallible Word of God. But that is not true, because the only infallible man that ever lived was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some would argue, Jimmy, that the apostles were infallible when they wrote the scriptures. And I would say that the apostles were under the influence of the Holy Spirit, who guided them to pen the infallible scriptures. But they themselves were not infallible, as we see Peter being rebuked by the Lord Jesus Christ.
There's one of those John 3:16s, and not John, but 3:16, that we could refer to in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So, indeed, that's the only infallible statement from God, and it is His Word. The third step, as you've said in your paper, Mike, is entertainment and liturgy. Explain to everybody what liturgy is, and then talk about entertainment. And this is not only in the Catholic Church. This is spreading throughout neo-evangelicalism as well.
Well, it's so true. We're in a postmodern era now, and truth is subjective. It's no longer objective from God's Word. People will say that your truth is just as relative as mine. But when we say entertainment has moved Jesus out of the church, this is what's happening in many Protestant churches today. They're more interested in entertaining the goats than feeding the sheep. And so their whole agenda is to entertain people, tickle their ears, rather than giving them what they need, which is the Word of God. And the liturgy is something that the formal high churches do, and that's a lot of sacramental ritualism, and they do the sacrifice of the Mass represented on altars. And this is, of course, brought in a false Christ in the form of the Eucharist, and the true Christ, who is to be worshipped in spirit and truth, has been moved out of the church.
But that usage of liturgy, again, is moving into the mainstream churches. Forgetting Catholicism for a moment, it's becoming forefront in some of the churches that we would think are doing great things for God.
Well, it's true, Jimmy, and this has prophetic implications, because we know there will be a world religion that worships a man who calls himself the Christ. He'll be a false Christ, and so we see the Roman Catholic religion as a catalyst to bring all professing Christians under the power and influence of the Pope. So you see a lot of Protestant leaders now begin to emulate the Roman Catholic religion and some of its liturgies. They're putting their stamp of approval on the Roman Catholic religion as a valid expression of Christianity. And so biblical doctrine is put aside, and now you have the liturgy coming full force into all churches.
That's an interesting statement you made. I love it. I'm going to steal it from you and use it. Entertaining the goats instead of feeding the sheep.
Well, Jimmy, that's what the church is supposed to be for. We're supposed to equip and encourage and edify the saints so they can go out into the world and proclaim the gospel. But instead, churches are inviting the world in, and the only way to keep them is to entertain them.
That phrase is a great commentary on what's happening in our church world today. One final thought in your paper was the teaching and the influence of doctrines of demons. Now, describe doctrines of demons with us. And indeed, teachers in sacred pulpits are doing exactly that, teaching doctrines of demons.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, Paul goes on to define what a couple of the doctrines of demons are that are being practiced today. One of them, he said, is forbidding people to marry. And we have to look no further than the Roman Catholic religion to see the only religion that lifts up the name of Christ that forbids its people to marry. So Paul explicitly says that is a doctrine of the devil, and they've departed from the faith to follow doctrines of demons. In the fourth stage, deception is full-blown. You now have lying signs and wonders throughout the world. Jimmy, from a prophetic implication, we know that that's how the devil will deceive the world, with lying signs and wonders. Probably the greatest sign and wonder that's deceiving a billion people today is this quote-unquote miracle of transubstantiation, where the Lord Jesus Christ is called down from heaven to be transubstantiated into the inner substance of a wafer, such that Roman Catholics now worship a false Christ as he is lifted up. And Jesus explicitly said in Matthew 24:24, if anyone says, here is the Christ, do not believe them. So this is setting the stage for the world to worship a false Christ when he appears on the scene.
Well, we need to realize that this is where our world is headed right now. Just briefly, as we conclude our conversation, what would you say to those who are in churches that are following your path to apostasy?
Well, they need to make sure they're in a biblical church, one that not only submits to the supreme authority of God's Word, but they also preach the Word verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, and they're also a church that will go out and proclaim the gospel. That's what the church is called to do, not only to proclaim the gospel, but to contend earnestly for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. So those are the key marks of a solid biblical church, and if your listeners are not in one of those, they can either visit our website. We have a list of different churches throughout the country, and I'm sure you know them as well, Jimmy, but we can point them to solid biblical churches. Our website is proclaimingthegospel.org, so there's not only a list of good churches, but also a lot of resources to help people in these days of great deception.
Let's make sure that many of you eavesdropping on the conversation visit Mike's website. ProclaimingTheGospel.org is the location. Mike, you have been a service to the body of Christ by writing this paper and talking with us about it right here on Prophecy Today. We so appreciate what you've done. Have a great time in your meetings there in San Antonio, and we'll talk again down the line.
Well, thank you so much, Jimmy. Always a pleasure to be with you.